Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of our Marketing Superheroes series, and I got with me Mr. Louis Gadima. Welcome, Louis.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. You're with Revenue Associates. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing for folks?
Sure. Revenue and Associates is my agency that I work with companies on helping them maximize the value and the return that they get from their marketing assets. I look at companies and how they're doing marketing and sometimes sales, what their opportunities are, what their competitors are doing, develop marketing strategies using my Bullseye marketing framework, and then help them implement it.
Now,
sometimes that's in a kind of consultative role. Sometimes it's an interim kind of head of marketing for a quarter or a third time for 6 or 12 months or so to ramp up a program.
Now, when you're talking about companies, how are you segmenting the marketplace? Because there's companies of all sizes, and do they all have the same marketing strategies?
No, of course they don't. And even companies in the same industry might have different marketing strategies depending on their competition, their brand equity, what they've done in the past, and so forth. To give a little background, I owned a marketing agency for a dozen years, and we served some very large companies like IBM and the Boston Globe and EMC and others, venture-backed startups. And then I did business development for a couple marketing agencies after I sold mine, again, serving kind of larger companies. But I would have said probably that my primary focus these days is on companies in the kind of a few million to 50 million range. But I'm actually now working with a company that is about a $7 billion manufacturing company. And they have similar needs to what some other companies have that are smaller because of they haven't built out a large marketing, modern marketing program in the past, and they have a lot of those marketing assets that I was mentioning that I'll tell you more about. So there's a lot of opportunities for them. There's a lot of things that they could do, and a lot of ways that they could generate more leads and revenue.
Well, you mentioned earlier the Bullseye marketing framework. Can you talk a little bit about what that is?
Yeah. So that's something, and this gets back, you know, when I talk about the kinds of companies that I work with. So I did a study a few years ago where I looked at 351 B2B companies with about 10 to 100 million in revenue. And what I discovered was kind of surprising to me, but a real eye-opener, was that the companies in the software industry were doing a lot of marketing. And on my 9-point scorecard, they had a median of 7. But all other industries combined, manufacturing, medical devices, professional services. And again, these were companies with 10 to 100 million in revenue. They certainly had enough money to do marketing programs. The median was that they were doing 2 things, which meant that they really weren't doing much at all. And at the same time, I was able to show, looking at the revenue and the growth, that the companies that did have the broadest, most sophisticated marketing programs were growing the fastest. In fact, the ones that were at the high end of that range, kind of 8 or 9, scoring 8 or 9, were growing 4 to 5 times faster than the companies at the bottom, getting low scores of kind of 0 to 3. So as I worked with companies, this is a real eye-opener because I'd done so much work with tech companies or other companies that had a lot going on, to see how many companies, that maybe 80% of companies out there aren't doing serious modern marketing programs. And as I worked with companies, I realized over a few years that I was often giving a certain type of advice. I had developed a certain playbook. And so in the last year, I formulated that into that bullseye marketing framework. Basically, it looks, if you think of a bullseye with a center and two other circles, it basically looks at three different phases to launching and growing, scaling a marketing program. So the first in the center of that bullseye is to fully exploit the existing marketing assets. And those are things like better understanding customers and selling more to current customers, because a lot of companies focus on landing new accounts, but growing existing accounts can be much, much less expensive and therefore much, much more profitable. Having a superior website experience, and especially making that website into a conversion tool. You know, companies get a lot of traffic to their website, but 99% of it, they never know who that person was or what company they were with. And so making changes to their website so that they get many more conversions and generate many more leads. And this, you know, is one of several things in the center of the bullseye that costs very little. Taking advantage of email marketing, something else that costs very little, but is highly effective, much more effective than social media marketing. Having better alignment between marketing and sales. So all of these things in the center of the bullseye, and there's others, are fast and inexpensive for most companies to implement, can have significant measurable results in a matter of weeks or months, and can really have an impact on their business. So then in that second circle of the bullseye, once they've really kind of fitted out and taken advantage of those existing marketing assets, is starting to reach out to new customers and to start looking at new accounts and to focus not on broad awareness programs, but on people and companies that are looking to buy right now, and to use different types of what I call is called in the industry intent data. Who's signaling that they have an intent to buy something right now? And that includes people who are doing searches, so using search marketing, people who come to your website many times, which is kind of an indication of a serious interest, and using third-party intent data, because there's various companies both in the B2B and B2B sector that kind of aggregate or collect this kind of intent data around the behavior of people online and sell it. And then the third area is brand building and awareness programs. And these are things, the third circle, are these things like content marketing, advertising, social media marketing, which take the longest to produce results, but which ironically, many companies who, when they start to do marketing, will focus on those first. And after 6 months or so, they will say, well, this isn't doing anything for us, and stop and say, we knew that marketing didn't work. Whereas if they focused on the center of the bullseye first and then the second circle, they could produce some really quick results and have some great success, and then do those long-term programs, which can be very valuable in the long run in building a brand and awareness, but are not the place to start.
So most marketers should focus on the things they should be doing instead of the things they could be doing.
Yeah, well, the marketing has become incredibly complex in the last 25 years. You know, it used to be there were only 6 or 8 ways that you could connect with customers. You know, you had like radio, TV, billboards, print, direct mail, events, you know, a couple other things. But now you've got dozens and dozens of channels. And I've seen one list that showed over 100 different channels. You've got literally more than 5,000 companies selling marketing, different types of marketing software in dozens of categories. And so there's a lot of people out there making claims. There's a lot of potential confusion, especially among companies and people who haven't been doing it for very long or at all. And so it's understandable that if you kind of step into this very busy, noisy, complex space, that you could easily trip up. And the Bullseye kind of helps focus on those programs that can, as I said, get you those quick wins inexpensively.
And isn't there this kind of illusion that there's a lot of those channels you mentioned are free, or they don't cost money to play in, but they do have a cost when it comes to time and energy and the effort to really execute at the level you have to in order to get noticed on them?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and one of the other advantages in the center of the Bullseye, as opposed to the second and third circles, is the more competitive those second and third stage programs become, the more expensive and ineffective they become. So think of social media marketing. If you're just, you know, it used to be that if you had a brand page on Facebook 5 or 6 years ago, and you posted something on your brand page, 25% of your followers would see it. Well, now if you're a brand and you post, only 2 or 3% of your followers see it. Same thing on Twitter. It's just become so, you know, people, the algorithms have been edited, modified to emphasize posts from people. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, they want brands to pay for exposure. And so generally social media marketing these days means paid social media, promoted posts, which can be high, you know, they can be effective and they can be very, very highly targeted. But they're generally not free anymore. Same thing with content. If you get into an industry, if you're in an industry where a lot of companies are producing content, it's much harder to get your content noticed and to get high search ranking. But these assets in the middle of the Bullseye, they can't be undermined by competitors. You know, no one can take away from you having a superior understanding of your customer and your relationship with them. No one can take away from you the value of having better conversion experiences on your website, or using your email list better, or remarketing, or having better cooperation and collaboration between sales and marketing. So those are your unique marketing assets that really are there. They're like gold sitting around for many companies. They just don't realize always how valuable that they can be.
Now, when you're working with a client for the first time, can you walk us through what that kind of maybe the initial meeting or their early meetings are like? Are you kind of gathering the intel on what kind of assets they have that are available and how to maybe repurpose them or leverage them in a different way than they're currently being used?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, I'll have a questionnaire and it's probably 3 or 4 pages long, asking them about a lot of different programs that they might be doing. What have they done? What kind of results have they been able to produce with those? And, you know, as I said, in most cases, or quite a lot of cases, the feedback is they're not doing a lot at all. You know, maybe they have an email list, but they're mailing to it 2 or 3 times a year. They have a website without, you know, any conversion opportunities, or very few at all. And of course, as I said, I have this 9-point score card of looking at the digital programs that they have. So I do that. And then I'll ask them for who are their three or four top competitors. I'll look at what they're doing. And then we'll start talking about what are some of the opportunities to take the, you know, inexpensive, rapid advantage of what they have and develop a 6 or 12 month plan for them. You know, I mentioned that sometimes I work with companies on an interim basis to head up their marketing. Something else I do is what I call a marketing strategy sprint, where I basically start by working with a company on a 1 month engagement, gathering a lot of information, and then doing a 1 day workshop for the senior team, which culminates in the last couple hours in generating a 12 month action plan around the three stages, the three phases of the bullseye. So there's a, you know, a lot of different, every company usually is at a different place. And so the recommendations may be very different. Let me give you an example of a company I'm working with right now. They have a website that's not responsive. So that means it doesn't work on a smartphone or tablets.
Right.
It just looks good on a desktop. And, you know, it's a little out of date and it's several hundred pages on the website. But by editing the templates for that website, they don't even need a whole new website. They do eventually. But in the short run, just a few weeks, they could edit the templates of the website and make it responsive for very little money. Google downranks websites that aren't responsive. And so right there, they would improve their search ranking. They would improve the experience for their customers who are on mobile, which are many. The majority of searches are on mobile these days. And over 90% of the web traffic comes to the 100 most visited pages on that website. So if that company focused on improving just 100 pages on their website, they could make a huge impact on the kind of message that they're delivering, the leads that they're generating, and that kind of thing. So again, it's really looking at each company, gathering a lot of information initially, and then seeing where their quick win opportunities are, and then moving on to these longer term programs.
Now, you mentioned targeting the 100 most, I guess, popular pages. Every website has their kind of most popular pages. What are some techniques to improve the results from those pages that are easy for someone to implement?
Well, of course, you have to look at the messaging. Content is most important. So you have to make sure you have a message that's customer focused and talks to what the customer's pain and need is and isn't just touting what a great product you have. Some technical things. The most important on-page, other than the content of a page, the most important on-page factor for search ranking is what's called the title tag. It's that if you look at a web browser and you look at the text that's in the tab at the top of the browser, that's the title tag. Google puts special emphasis on those keywords. So some companies do a poor job of using their title tags. They have very generic title tags, not very specific to their industry. Google can't really figure out as much what industry they're talking about, improving the title tags. You know, there are things like using a chatbot. This one, and yeah, this is just one of a number, but for example, there's a tool called Drift, which can be set up on websites pretty quickly and inexpensively. And I know a lot of companies who are using it who are seeing some very good results from it. Another thing that's you probably see on a lot of websites these days that can be very effective is what's called an exit intent pop-up. When you move your cursor towards the address bar at the top of the browser where the URL is. That's when a pop-up comes up on the assumption that you're about to go up there and type something, another URL and leave the site. But the pop-up may offer you, as it does on my website, to download a free ebook or to sign up for a mailing list or to sign up for a webinar or whatever the company wants to promote. And certainly companies should experiment with promoting a lot of different things. So those are a number of things that can be done quickly and inexpensively. When I added the exit intent pop-up on my website, I have a WordPress website. That was a free plugin. That cost nothing and probably took half an hour to set up. But that gets me more people downloading a free ebook and signing up for what is one of my best lead generation programs for myself. I send out a daily email marketing tip every morning. And it goes out to hundreds of people. And I get a lot of engagement from it. I get almost no unsubscribes. And it generates a lot of leads and new customers for me.
Now, do you have a success story you can share of maybe a client that you started working with and in a short period of time were able to have a meaningful impact?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of those where, these kinds of, for example, having improved websites increase their leads, for example, in one case, by about 20% in just a short amount of time. A customer that I worked with on their AdWords, where they were doing 29 events, and they realized that they were getting leads so much more cost effectively with AdWords than they had been before. Then they cut it back from 29 to 4 and put that event money into online advertising. There's a startup I worked with that helped. They had the goal of doubling the revenue in the next year and tripled the revenue. And in one case around this conversion optimization that I mentioned, making sure that when people come to the website, you get as many leads as you can, or at least contacts, get them entered into your database. This was a company that had a kind of complex B2B sale. And the sales conversations usually started with asking about 20 questions or more, literally. And so I thought, well, maybe we could speed up the sales process by having a form in which we ask these 20 questions. And we added a form to the website. There was a lot of skepticism about this because it was the longest form you've ever seen. And the CEO said, we've got to say at the top of this, if you don't want to fill this out, here's our phone number, or put in a link to short form where they can just give us their name and address, email, phone, and, fill in a field about why they want to talk to us. So we did that. So we had that link. We had that phone number. That form generated, that very, very long form generated 4 times more leads than the short form. And they were much more highly qualified leads. They saved salespeople a lot of time because they could just look at the information that people had provided, and they could know really quickly if that was a qualified lead or not. And if someone wants to spend 5 or 10 minutes filling out a form, that's a pretty motivated person. That's someone you want to look at.
Sure.
And so, that alone was a huge success for them. So, in small cases, these small things, literally there's the opportunity sometimes with small changes to conversion experience on the website, just that can double or triple the number of leads that you're getting from a website.
And for you, if somebody wanted to contact you to have a more meaningful conversation and maybe walk them through these three parts to the bullseye and to see if there's a way for you to maybe help them with their marketing, what's the best way of someone to get a hold of you?
Yeah, so my website is revenueassociates.biz. And my email is Louis, L-O-U-I-S, at revenueassociates.biz. So, you know, that's the most direct way to get in touch with me. Or I'm on Twitter, so people certainly can look at what I'm tweeting about and can, you know, contact me through Twitter. But, you know, if you do come to the Revenue and Associates website, there are a lot of free downloads there. And there's information about the Bullseye framework. So I encourage people to take advantage of some of the, that other material too, and even sign up for the daily email marketing tip, because I get a ton of compliments on those and people find them really valuable.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you. I enjoyed the conversation.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Marketing Superheroes.